Well, okay, I welcome you back to the ABCs of Christian Growth. This is Brother Thurman with you. We're going to get into this study of justification again today and continue to see what our Bibles have to say concerning justification. Our last recording that we did, our study that we did together, we talked about the one before that, we talked about the definitions and what the Bible uses the word justify and justification and just and justly. It's written all over the Scriptures, and the Lord used it quite a bit in the Scriptures. And we've seen that. But the last study that we did, we talked about the negative side of justification. And we included that the law is negative for man's justification. Man cannot be justified by the law, even though the law is good, the Apostle Paul said, and it is. It's holy and just and good. But the problem is not with the law. The problem is with us. The problem is with us. You see, so we cannot be justified by the law. And I pray that you've been going over those Scriptures. I'm sure you have. You wouldn't be studying your Bible if you wasn't interested in going over the Scriptures and rereading them to be sure. And I encourage you to, because that's what we are supposed to do. We are supposed to individually rightly divide the word of truth. Even though the Lord gives us teachers, we are to get in His word and be sure that's what the Lord said. Remember the ones at Antioch and said they searched the Scriptures. Why? To see if those things were so. You see? Now, I say I would not mislead you, and I wouldn't. Not on purpose. And if I did it by accident, I would hope that you would try to get a hold of me and say, Brother TV, that's not right what you said, and correct me, because I want to be right about what I speak and what I say about God's Word. Because what's the point if we're not going to have truth and not have right? If we're not going to do right, we're not going to study the Word of God truly and genuinely and honestly and sincerely. We're not going to be blessed from God the Holy Ghost, that's for sure. If you try to manipulate God's Word, you mess with God's Word, like one of my teachers used to say all the time, you mess with God's Word, He'll mess with your mind, and He will. But we talked about the law as negative for man's justification. Also, we've seen that man's righteousness is negative when it comes to justification for him being justified. A man cannot be justified by his own righteousness, firstly, because in God's eyes, he don't have any righteousness of his own. Our righteousness is as filthy rags, and the Lord said if you add it all up and weighed it into balance, it's altogether lighter than vanity. Only the Lord can put words like that together, and we know exactly what He means by it also. And it's true. It's true, brothers and sisters. Now, that's not something that any of us want to say or admit, but we do, because that's what God says, and we know in our hearts that it's true. What the Bible teaches us about ourselves is true. Now, the world's not going to do that. The world does not, they're going to find any old way that they can pat themselves on the back and think themselves to have some sort of righteousness, just a little bit of righteousness or something that God's got to agree with about me that's good. The Lord says He's not agreeing with nothing but the truth and His righteousness. But we've seen that man's righteousness is negative for his justification. Also was included human works. Human works are negative for man's justification. Man cannot work his way to heaven. No matter what you do, there's all sorts of different religions out there that try to include works and try to all sorts of things to try to work and impress the Lord with human works. It's not going to work. There is such thing in the Scriptures, but not in our dispensation. This is the dispensation of the gospel of the grace of God. Our salvation is completely by faith through with God's grace. God's grace is what saves us, not anything having to do with any kind of work. Works are excluded. We can't do anything to impress the Lord for a ticket to heaven. Work our way to a 50-50 chance of getting to heaven. You can't work to get to heaven. Human works are no good. We're sinners. It's not what we've done. Works are what you've done. They're what you perform. Spend time to do to impress the Lord. The Lord said it's not by works of righteousness which ye have done, but by his mercy he saved us. And the last one that we studied was faith mixed with works. If you are trying to go by what the Lord said, and you've heard it preached, and you've heard the gospel of the grace of God, but yet in your heart you're trying to mix some of your works in there, that you think that you're going to stand before the Lord and say, okay, Lord, well, you know, I did believe on Jesus, but, you know, also I was a good person, and, I gave, you know how much I gave now. And, you know, that ain't going to mean diddly squat to the Lord. The Lord, is not going to take any kind of works that are mixed with faith, because his Son paid the price. And he, you know, you think after what the Lord had to, what the Father had to allow, had to watch his Son go through, and not only go through, but turn his back on his Son and let him become sin for us. You think he's going to sit back and say, okay, I'll take some of your works? You better forget that. It's not going to happen. It's completely by faith, through his grace. Through his grace. Okay? Now, today we're going to go into our study, and we're going to talk about something just the opposite of that in the Scriptures. Some acceptable things the Lord says can justify. You know, I remember once while I was out soul winning with my mentor that taught me how to soul win. He's with the Lord now. He passed away about, I guess, about a year ago, or maybe less than that, but he was 80, and that old boy finished right. He finished right. That soldier's in glory with his Lord, and he has met the Lord Jesus Christ, but he's the one that took me out door to door and started teaching me how to soul win and win somebody to the Lord. Well, it was in a college town where we lived, and there were lots of students. There's three colleges, and that's just the major colleges, not the smaller ones. But anyway, it's a college town, and I mean just apartments and students living in these large four-story buildings that must have had hundreds of apartments per building. And he and I, we would go out and knock on each door, and we would trade off door to door, door to every door, and who was going to be in charge of the visit at that particular door. And we went up to one that was my door, and I knocked on the door, and a young student, female, she answered the door, and I introduced my mentor to her and myself and explained why we were there. And we wanted to invite her to church, but more important, we wanted to have a conversation with her about whether or not she knew she was going to heaven and whether her name was written in God's in the book of life, and if she knew what God's word said about going to heaven. I asked if I could show it to her, and she gladly agreed. She let me show it to her, so I pulled my little pocket Bible out, and I began to show her the Romans road to salvation and what the Apostle Paul said about going to heaven in Romans. And after showing and explaining the gospel to her and the benefits of being saved and the consequences of not accepting Christ, I asked her if she'd like to pray and receive Christ as her Savior. And you know what? She replied, yes. So I offered to lead her in prayer, because a lot of people, they haven't prayed enough to take charge of their prayer. So I just make an offer if they want to pray. Of course, I wouldn't dare get in that way. But a lot of times you offer to pray for them and explain to them that my prayer is not going to get you to heaven. But if you mean business with the Lord and you ask him and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord said he'd honor your prayer, and you just talk to the Lord and be sincere about it, and the Lord said he'd save you. Well, I offered to lead her in prayer and ask her if she would like me to or not, and she elected for me to help her. Well, we all bowed our heads, and I began to pray, and I said, "Dear Lord," and then she replied, "Dear Lord." I said, "I know that I'm a sinner," and then there was silence. And I thought, well, maybe she didn't hear me. I said, "Dear Lord." And she said, "Dear Lord." I said again, "I know that I'm a sinner." And I mean, some dead silence. You could have heard a pin drop. Nobody said nothing. And I thought, well, what's the stinking problem here? I mean, am I messing up? Or, I mean, can she hear me or what? So I said, "Dear Lord." And she said, "Dear Lord." And I said again, "I know that I'm a sinner." And then all of a sudden she raised her head out of that prayer, and we did also when we felt her raise her head up, you know, and stuff like that, and said with a firm, haughty voice, she said, "I ain't saying that." And after a minute of silence, I said, "Well, if you're not a sinner, then you can't be saved." Now, obviously, she was not going to accept that she was a sinner. So we left her with the gospel and moved on. Folks, that's a perfect example of Romans chapter 10, verse 1 through 5, that we read when we closed on our last study. Remember, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, zeal of God, but, I mean, they were willing, just like this woman was, but not according to knowledge. Not according to the truth and what it takes, what God has said. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. And you see, this woman would not admit that she's a sinner. Why? Because she's going to stake her soul on her own righteousness. I said, "I know that I'm a sinner." She said, "I ain't saying that." I said, "Well, if you won't admit that you're a sinner, you can't be saved, because that's the only people that Jesus came to save, was sinners." And she said, "I ain't saying it." She wouldn't admit that she's a sinner. Why? Because she's going to stake her soul on a chance that she can do good enough on her own and not admit that she's a sinner. You see, she's going to chance getting in with establishing her own righteousness rather than the righteousness of Christ, where we read in Romans just a minute ago. I hope she reconsidered and received Christ. If she did not, she and many, many others like her will go to hell. Then they'll be cast into the lake of fire after their appearance before the great white throne judgment. Now that's truth. That's what the Bible says. Just don't let that be you. If you're listening to this and you're not born again, you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you need to do it today. Today. You need to bow your head and ask the Lord, tell the Lord that you believe on His Son, that you heard what His Word says, and you believe that His Son was crucified and he was buried, and he rose again the third day, and you believe that by faith, and you want to be saved. And the Lord promises that he'll save you for believing on that. Now, those are the negative things. I don't know why I started out saying that. I guess just to, insert something in between this negative and positive justification and the things that the Scripture says. I was around a lot when I was up at a ministry in Pennsylvania, northern Pennsylvania up there. While I was at that ministry, we used to have a whole bunch of Amish and Mennonite brothers that were actually saved, but they had their way. I kind of respect them. I have a lot of respect for the Amish and the Mennonites. But anyway, a brother up there that believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and was indeed saved, he said one time something. He said, "Godly sorrow is sorrow that can say so." Yeah. The Bible says the sorrow of the world and godly sorrow are two different kinds of sorrow. Godly sorrow is a sorrow that can admit it, that can say so. You see, there's a lot of people that claim to have godly sorrow toward the Lord, but they can't say anything about it and won't say anything about it, and they won't admit it, and they won't confess it, you see. And there's a lot of difference. That's why I'm telling you, while we're studying these studies, one of the most important things about studying God's Word is being sincere. Being sincere in your heart. Not trying to act like you, I don't know, I'm clearing my throat right in your face. I'm sorry about that. But we're not to pretend with the Lord. We're to be genuine and as sincere as we know how to be when we're studying God's Word, and God will bless us with it. And He'll teach us His Word. So let's go into today and talk about these things. Acceptable things, the Lord says, can justify man. That's what we want to know. Well, the first thing that God says that can justify man is grace. Grace justifies man. The Bible says so. Romans chapter 5 and verse 17 through 21. "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one," of course we know that's talking about Adam, "for by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered," now this is what we was talking about on the last lesson, "the law entered that the offense might abound." In other words, if there's no law, you can't be guilty because you've not broken a law that exists. So the Lord brought the law in through Moses, and the law is good and the law is holy, but it's not something that can be kept by a sinner. And the Lord brought it in, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, listen to this, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, grace justifies man. Grace justifies man. And there's no lying and pretending in grace. Grace is something that that you receive freely. It's something that you do not deserve. It's something that God chooses to give you and to apply to you and to have mercy on you and to grant you His grace. Grace is something that is God. God is love. God is grace. But it's by grace. Acceptable things that the Lord says can justify man, grace justifies man. If you're born again, you have received God's grace. It's by God's grace. For by grace are ye saved. Not of works. Not of works. What else? What else can justify man according to the scriptures is acceptable? Well, Christ's blood. Christ's blood justifies man. The Bible says so. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 and 9, the Bible says, "But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." See, the Bible says that blood, Christ's blood, not just any blood. See, the blood of calves and goats wouldn't work. That was temporary because they had to do it all the time, over and over and over and over, because that blood could not take away sins. Otherwise, they wouldn't have sinned anymore. They wouldn't have been accused. They wouldn't have been guilty of sin anymore if that sacrifice could have handled the problem of sin. But it couldn't. It was only a temporary fix. Christ's blood is once and for all and forever. It says, then being justified by His grace, we should be made, I was reading the wrong one. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Through Him. And you know, we was talking about that grace just a minute ago too. Christ's blood justifies man. And God's grace justifies man. But I passed up one important scripture that I want to give to you about that grace, because it's God's word that we're here for. It says in Titus chapter 3, it says, "But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." You see, grace justifies man, and Christ's blood justifies man according to the scriptures. The Bible says also in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18 and 19, having to do with the Lord's blood, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." The precious blood of Christ. It says we was redeemed by that blood. We were redeemed and justified by Christ's blood. Christ's blood justifies man. And that's not all. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 12 also says, "Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate," outside of Jerusalem. Outside of Jerusalem, He suffered, and that He might sanctify the people with His own blood. With His own blood. You see, Christ's blood justifies man. Not only grace justifies man, Christ's blood justifies man. That's what the Bible says. Here's some more. Christ's resurrection justifies man. Justifies man. You see the gospel slipping in here? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But grace, Christ's blood, and Christ's resurrection justifies man. We've read that with our own eyes and our ears and heard it. Romans chapter 4 and verse 25, having to do with Christ's resurrection, says, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. You see, when you go into God's courtroom, or if you was going to have to go into God's courtroom, but see, your court date has been taken away. There's no longer any kind of court appearance or any legal matters having to do with you at all between you and the Lord. Between you and the Lord, since you've been saved, has changed the relationship from a judge to a defendant to a father and a son. You're family now. And the Lord sees you as a son and not somebody that's under his wrath and somebody that needs to be punished. You see, you're under his grace now. You're in his family. And he deals with you as a father now. As a father deals with a son and loves him. Grace justifies man. Christ's blood justifies man. Also, Christ's resurrection justifies man. It says he was raised again for our justification. For our justification. If Jesus was still in the grave and they could find his bones, your salvation is vain. If Jesus is still in the grave and they're looking for him, I know if they could find one finger bone, boy, the whole world would go berserk. They'd have a stinking fit if they could find one bone of his. But they're not going to find it. The Lord's up there. They'd have to go up to heaven at the right hand of the Father to talk to Jesus about that, because he's not there. If Jesus had not resurrected and come back from the dead, how in the world could we praise him? Praise him, praise him. He showed that he has the power over life and death by resurrecting from the dead. And when he resurrected from the dead, that validated our justification. That nailed it down, that we could be justified. You see, Christ's resurrection justifies man. That's not all. Also, believing in Christ for righteousness. Now, we went over that on the negative side, but this is the positive side. Believing in Christ for righteousness justifies man. Now, you take all of these things that we're talking about right now and just blend them together, like we was talking about putting your fingers together and just kind of blending them all in there, and it all just works together so perfectly. Christ's resurrection and grace and the blood of Christ justifies man. And believing in Christ for righteousness justifies man. Romans chapter 10 and verse 3 and 4. Listen to this. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. If you indeed have believed on Jesus Christ, and there's no reason to think that you haven't, if you have, and then you put your faith in the righteousness, you've submitted yourselves unto the righteousness of God and bypassed your own righteousness and left it behind and went to Christ's righteousness and submitted to Christ's righteousness. The Bible says, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? If you call on Christ's name to save you and you call on the Lord to save you and believed on him, you submitted yourself, You submitted yourself by what you heard in the Word of God about Christ's righteousness and dying, being buried, and resurrected for eternal life, for your justification. Believing in Christ for righteousness justifies man. Another one found in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 and 10. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You see, when you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that is believing in Christ for righteousness. You are putting your trust and your faith by faith in Christ's righteousness by faith, you see. And it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's that simple. It's that simple. That's the gospel of the grace of God, the Pauline gospel that Brother Paul told us about. But believing in Christ for righteousness justifies man. And that's, if you believed in Christ, it was by God's grace that justified you. It was by the blood of Christ that justifies you. Listen to all these things. Christ's resurrection justified you. And believing in Christ for righteousness justifies you. That's minding the Lord and trusting what God's Word has said, and you obeyed the Lord. Now, the Scripture could not be any more plainer than it is. It says in Romans 10:14 that if you call on the Lord, you have believed. That's what the Bible says. Did you call on the Lord? Then the Lord kept his promise with you also. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, say it with me, shall be saved. So if God did what he said he was going to do when you called upon his name, what did he do when you called upon his name? He saved you for eternity. Now stop listening to the devil and submit yourself to the Lord and what you know to be true, and resist him, and know that he's a liar, and call him a liar, because he's going to try to make you feel like you ain't got saved and something went wrong with your salvation and all this. He tried to beat my brains out with that mess, and I'm sure that I ain't no better than you. He's probably attacked you about that too. But you are justified. If you believed in Christ and you have been saved by God's grace, grace justifies man. Christ's blood justifies man. You heard about his resurrection. You heard about his death and how he suffered and what he went through and his shed his blood, the Bible teaches us, and Christ's resurrection and believing in Christ, then you are justified. In God's eyes, you are justified. Now, what else? Well, faith in what God has said justifies man. Now, I want to remind you of something. We're talking about a whole bunch of different things. You say, well, I thought just believing in God. Well, this, everything that we're talking about right now are acceptable things, not separately, but corporately. Believing in Christ, like the Bible tells us to, for salvation, includes everything that we're talking about right now that's acceptable. Acceptable things, the Lord says, can justify man. I mean, you, if you're born again, you've had five pieces of evidence right now that we're saying, that we're going over, that we've been over so far, that have proved your justification. You see? Grace. If you're born again, God's grace is upon you. Grace justifies you. Christ's blood justifies you. That's what you put your trust in, wasn't it? Christ's resurrection justifies you. Believing in Christ justifies you. The Bible says, whoso believeth he that heareth my word and believeth in him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That's what he says. Believing in Christ for righteousness justifies man. And here's another one. Faith in what God has said justifies man. Believing God's word. Romans chapter 3 and verse 26 through 28. Listen to this. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And there's another scripture right there. Just told us this, just nailed it down for us, didn't it? Faith. When you called upon the name of the Lord, you heard what the Word of God said. And you chose, one thing about you and all of us is that God leaves our will as a free agent. He doesn't get involved in our will. He tries to convince us to put our trust in him and our will towards him, but he doesn't violate our will. He doesn't make us like he would. He could command us to believe in him, couldn't he? But that wouldn't be love. That wouldn't be sincerity. Your will is a free agent. When you heard the gospel, you made a choice. And you exercised your will. And if you chose to put your faith in what you heard from the Word of God, that justified you before God. That's what it says. That's what God's Word says. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith. Faith in what? What God has said. Amen? Well, God said, and what he said about his son. Works, the deeds of the law that we just got through talking about, cannot justify. But faith can and will. How come? Because God said so. That's why. In John 5:24, listen to this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, you heard God's word, and believeth on him that sent me, talking about the Lord, talking about himself, you believe on the Father that sent him, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. What a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful scripture. I don't know how anybody can hear all that and the good news about all that, how God has gone out of his way and wrote us the scriptures and had all these wonderful men that believed on the Lord and touched him and handled him and loved him and heard all his words and had them recorded for us, and now 2,000 years plus into it, people have been getting saved all down through history and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and God has not, he has not strayed from his promises, not one bit with anybody. Everybody that has ever believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the scriptures, God kept his word with them. And he will always keep his word. Faith in what God has said justifies man. That's included in your justification. So what have we talked about? We're talking about acceptable things the Lord says in his word that can justify man. Grace justifies man. Christ's blood justifies man. Christ's resurrection justifies man. Believing in Christ for righteousness justifies man. You didn't you didn't choose to believe in your righteousness. I ain't saying that. I'm going to take chances on my own righteousness. Well, you're in trouble, Missy. You're in bad trouble. You better hope you don't step on no thin ice and slip off into eternity with your righteousness. Believing in Christ for righteousness justifies man. That's what the Bible said. Everything that we've talked about, we've read Scripture about, and that's what the Lord said, isn't it? Faith in what God has said justifies man. Justifies man. Amen. Well, you know what we're going to do? We're going to stop, and I want to have plenty of time to go over this last portion of our study about justification. We've talked about the negative side of justification and the positive side of justification according to what the Scriptures say. And we believe it, don't we? But on our next recording, we're going to talk about the benefits that are given to the ones that are justified. The benefits that are given to the ones that are justified. And you want to be sure to, and I know you'll be here, but to join in with that, because the Lord has really done some wonderful things for us and justified us. You know, as crazy as this world is and as mixed up and deceived, the Bible says that the world is going to get so deceitful, and it is right before your eyes if you're living in 2022 and beyond. But it is. It's becoming so deceitful now that you can't even see the truth. You cannot detect the truth in society anymore. People aren't interested in the truth in society. And it said that it's going to get so bad that if it were possible, it would deceive even the very elect. That's us. Except that we stay in the Word of God and know what the truth is. You see, what keeps our minds and our hearts and everything straight about us is God's Word. That's why it's so important for you to be in God's Word every day. Every day. So you can keep your mind and your heart and everything washed and in accordance to what the truth is and what the Bible says. And that'll help you to realize what lies are and what truth is. And that's very important. Let me give you these scriptures for today, okay? You ready? All right. You say you've been ready, huh? Romans chapter 5, verse 17 through 21. Titus chapter 3, verse 4 through 7. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12. Romans chapter 4, verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Romans chapter 10, verse 3 and 4. And then Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. And then Romans chapter 10, verse 14. And then Romans chapter 3, verse 26 through 28. And our last one for today was John chapter 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That's past tense. It's already happened. You've been justified. Amen? That's a very important part of your salvation that took place, even when we didn't know. The Lord was behind the scenes taking care of that for us and justifying us. The Lord Jesus Christ was doing that for us. And now that we're justified, we've been adopted and born again and into God's family, and just a whole bunch of things have happened. And we're going to talk about some more, and you're just going to be glad to know these things, that what the Lord has done. So, all right, justification, and we'll have probably one more study in this matter of justification. We'll talk about the benefits given to the ones that are justified. We know what's going to happen to the ones that aren't justified, and what a sad thing that is, and we need to keep that right on the edge of our concerns, that we're interested in people's souls, and we mourn for people's souls. We know what's going to happen. So we need to be ready to give an answer for the hope that's in us, right? Amen. And we do. So this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I'll talk to you on the next one, okay? Bye-bye.